Good morning, and welcome to Enlighten Radio here on www.enlightenradio.org, and always available also at player.enlightenradio.org. And you know, we're on pretty close to 24/7, not completely, but pretty much. And today's early morning program, the Turd Sandwich Cafe, also known as the Sports Attack,
comedy and sports attack,
and our star, we have our only celebrity here on which is formerly known as Mike Diesel, also Mike Cucarini. Michael Cucarini of the Cucarini clan.
And yes, that's the clan. Yes, baby. Yep, that's it.
Home calls Culpepper home these days, I guess.
No, we're not talking about that. No,
I mean, your family is from Culpepper, isn't that true?
But no, they're from Woodbridge.
Oh, Woodbridge. God, I thought they were from Culpepper.
No, they live in Culpepper now.
I'm glad, you know, because every time I drove down to University of Virginia, you know, I had to pass turnoffs to Culpepper, and I never took them.
Yes. I never took them. You did the smart thing. You did the smart thing, John. You kept driving.
I did. I was on Route 29-211.
Yeah, what's that old joke? Just if you want to know where Culpepper is, just get on 29 and drive till the culture stops.
Right. Anyway, so welcome to this morning's program, and you've just been listening to the resonant voice of Michael Cucarini.
Yes.
And,
yes. Hi. Good morning, John.
What are we doing this morning, Mike?
Today, John, we have a special buffet of various NFL games to talk about, which is exciting. Always exciting. The NFL, very exciting. I sound like him. Exciting. Lots of people. But it was a great, great weekend. If you're not a Cowboys fan.
Good day for them.
You know, Mike McCarthy, their coach, has won like 10, 12 games for the last 3 years. He's still going to get fired because he didn't bring him to the Super Bowl. So, you know, Jerry Jones. The owner, Jerry Jones, who's very active, probably is going to fire him.
This is identical, by the way, to the management philosophy of Jack Welch at GE, who said to each division, you're either number one or number two in your market share, or you're gone completely.
Or you're disappeared, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That he called that his training school for vice presidents.
Well, I just want to not get off topic on that idiot, but I would like to discuss the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs won as well in a knockdown dragout game that they Patrick Mahomes looked like the old Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce dropped a couple of passes, but the ones that he caught were the more important ones. Marquez Valdes-Scantling played an excellent game at receiver. They have a terrific running back in Pacheco. He's really good. San Francisco did not play this weekend. The Baltimore Ravens did not play this weekend. The Baltimore Ravens, I believe, you still got – that hasn't been settled. The Bills and the Steelers play today in Buffalo. Now, the governor had to cancel the game Sunday because of the blizzard conditions. It was, I think – 4 below zero, and they had like 12 inches of snow on the field and on the stand. So they've got the entire city coming in to try to clean that up, and they're going to try to play that game today at 4:30. Pittsburgh is already there. They arrived yesterday at 5 p.m. They have cleared some of the streets. The problems, the issues are going to be that the Buffalo folk want you know, they want to fill up the stadium, but they you know, I admire Governor Kathy Kochel. Is that her name? I can't remember her name. I'm sorry.
Close. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's close. But she is a really smart lady. She's like, look, we're not gonna have a bunch of people die over a freaking football game.
No, we can't have that.
No. So you even
wait a minute, Mike.
Yes.
Now, what happens if the deaths were Dallas Cowboy players. Would that be equally grievous?
No, that would be awful.
Grievous?
That would be awful.
That would be awful.
I don't
okay.
care. I don't care if it's that, no. I draw the line at that.
I'm
just glad.
All right.
I'm just
all
glad
right.
that they lost in a football game and no one got seriously injured. They just had a hard time. Their quarterback, Dak Prescott, has been maligned a lot in the playoffs because he doesn't play well in the playoffs. And neither the Cowboys. The Cowboys have lost. They've gone one and done for years. That's the whole mark on them. They're very much like the old Washington Capitals. Washington Capitals used to have like the best record in hockey, and then they get in the first round of playoffs and get their ass kicked. So it's kind of the same. It's very similar. I would say that Kansas City played exceptionally well, but so did Miami. Miami did not cower in that weather. Now, let's keep in mind that it was the third coldest game ever played. It was -4 degrees at kickoff, and it just got colder from there. By the time they got to the second half, it was -17. So that's I happen to know. I've played football in that kind of weather. I can tell you just from, I played on the offensive line. I played on the defensive line. I was a middle linebacker and a fullback. And I know that footing is key. If you can get your footing on that icy surface, it becomes difficult for the other team to stop you, especially since it's your home field and you know the field better than the other team. It's a very, very the other aspect of it is the kicking game, which is quite amazing. If you see some of the kickers, they're kicking that ball, and that ball has got to be 2 or 3 pounds heavier because the density of that weight, that water kind of gets around that ball, and that ball starts to freeze up a little bit. Man, oh, man, it's hard to throw. It's hard to – it feels so much heavier in your hands.
Really?
Your hands are freezing cold. You catch that ball with your hands are going to sting.
Well, now, wait a minute.
A lot of guys didn't give a shit. You know, they played exceptionally well. It's hard to catch that ball when it's that cold. It is.
Well, okay, but isn't football supposed to be an all-weather game, really? Come on.
To an extent, yeah, but, you know, look, John, you also have, unfortunately or unfortunately, multi-million dollars on the line here with these advertisers, your support staff, the stadium, the broadcast rights, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it makes for compelling television, it does, but again, Governor of New York, hats off to you, that was a smart move. They have time today. They're going to play one game today. And I think tonight the Bills play the Steelers. That's, the Steelers are coming to town, so it's not like they're not weather-oriented. The Steelers play in cold weather. They'll be fine. The Steelers have showed a great deal of fight. No one said that the Steelers – everyone was like, oh, they're done this year. They're terrible. Well, you know what? They rattled off 3 wins with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback, and he's played exceptionally well. And the team has put together a more simplified offense, and they're running the damn football. So tell you what, Bills, you better pay attention to what happened to the Cowboys. You better pay attention, or you're going to get your ass kicked. I'm just telling you. These games, I'll say something interesting. No one has scored. It for me anyway. No one has scored on the Dallas Cowboys this year in the first quarter at home. Dallas has scored, and every team that's gone into the Dallas Stadium to play the Cowboys has played from behind. Not this time, baby. Not this time. The Green Bay Packers elected to receive the ball on the kick. They didn't defer. They received the ball, and they stuffed it straight down their throat and scored. Hmm. So, better strategy for the Packers. They played exceptionally well. Jordan Love, at the beginning of the year, they didn't give him a shot at making it through the year. That guy's like one of the number one passers in the NFL right now. I mean, it's freaking amazing.
You know what amazes me?
What's that?
Is that the sports attack.
Uh-huh.
Is the opposite in some ways of the moose turd, of the turd cap sandwich cafe, because it's like the angel food cake cafe, where no matter what's going on outside the cafe, here in the angel food cake stadium.
This part of it, yeah.
You know, there is heroism, skill, all kinds of
challenges. There's optimism, enthusiasm.
There's optimism. There's enthusiasm. The sides are important. The teams have champions. Whereas, you know, when you walk out of the cafe after you've had your big slice of angel food cake, then you have this 10 feet of snow.
Yeah, your expectations are now. We've built you up, see? We've built you up. So you got this angel food cafe right here where we're at, see? We're here.
Yeah.
But see, you get out of the angel food one and just walk three steps. And that's you hit bam, there's the moose turn right in your face. Just bam.
Yeah, right.
Like Emeril Lagasse, bam.
Right. Hold on a sec. Are you going now, Carol?
Yeah, I'm just
Oh, okay.
Bye, Carol. Hi, Carol.
She just took off out the door.
Good morning,
well,
Carol.
Well, she may be
safe,
having
please.
To go get some actual wet cat food for our deranged cat that doesn't like to... Well, it'll eat dry food, except here's what it does. It cracks it in half, throws half the food on the floor, and swallows the rest.
And then eats the other half. Yeah, our cat used to do that. Yeah, I think that was more because of her teeth were messed up. But yeah, I mean, I see. Our guy here is just nuts. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, I was going to bed last night, and he's just like looking at me like, so you gonna sleep
now? You big piece of meat.
Yeah, he's just like on the bed, like kneading the bed, like, hey, what's up? Did you want to go to sleep now?
Yeah,
look, I know you stayed up and watched football, and it's like 11:45 at night. You got to get up early, but listen, I'm just going to fuck everything up in this house. Is that all right? I'm just going to start clawing shit. Because it's my time to shine. I mean, it's midnight, and I got to fuck things up. So you guys can't sleep. That's all. I just want to make sure I'm doing my job. As a cat, as a representative of the cat community,
right.
I am going to rearrange your fucked up house.
I submit that it's time for you to reconsider that my proposition that the cats are agent of a force on Ganymede should not be, you know, just discarded as the senile derangements of an old man. We should give some thought to this.
Well, here's the deal. I watched a movie with Ben Kingsley was starring in the movie, and he was this goofy guy in a small town.
Was he bald in that one?
In upstate New York. Just listen to me. It's hilarious. And he always goes to the town hall meetings, and he's like the guy that, like, from Working, where Jimmy Jam was like, he took my stapler. I don't know why they took my new stapler. I want my stapler. Like, he was kind of like that. He's like, listen, we have to have a, I think there should be a crosswalk. You know, he comes in and says all this stuff, and then he goes, oh, and there is a alien spaceship has crashed in my backyard and destroyed my azaleas. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the council was like, what? Did he just say an alien spaceship? And it actually did. An alien spaceship did crash in the crazy man's backyard and destroy his azaleas. And guess what? The only way the alien could fix his ship is it was fueled by dead cats. He had to have 12 dead cats wrapped up in a baggie and shoved in because that was their fuel source, dead cats.
You know, your description of this chaotic cafe here we've got going on.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
It reminds me of the Jefferson County Commission meeting.
You mean they're like really tired and unable to focus and stupid shit flies out of their mouth too?
I was thinking about, you know, what is the cost that you pay for having a disorderly government meeting?
Well, here's,
you know, and what happens is, I'm finished. What happens is that you become an attractor for other disorderly forces who see, hey, there's a circus going on over here. Why don't we get a whole lot more clowns to show up? And then it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course,
Well, I think we should, obviously, obviously next time you go, you have to let me know again, like right before you're leaving.
Oh, God.
So I can send you in an email, or I can attend the meeting where we play the Benny Hill theme song while these idiots are talking.
Yeah, right.
Just play it real loud.
I know. It's really something.
Oh, look, they're all running into each other. But I mean, stupid shit.
Imagine when, you know, the voice of indignation and public thing is, you know, my good friend Danny Lutz. You know, all of a sudden sounds like a trumpet of reason. You...
That's like Aaron Rodgers not being stupid.
No, anyway, no, Danny's not stupid. He just, he's got his
own
thing.
No, I'm teasing Danny. We kid. We love Danny. We see him. We talk to him. It's fine. You know, it's just, it happens, man. Let me get through the sports.
Sorry.
Can I get through
Dan.
The
yeah,
sports
I'm sorry.
And then we'll... No, that's okay.
I'm sorry. I,
look,
I know.
Man, I'm eager to talk about that subject too, but my friend.
My sandwich is getting cold here. Go ahead. Yeah. All right.
I suppose
it's even better.
And now we're like the orcs. Not only do we have a turd sandwich, but it's on moldy bread.
Yes.
The bread is moldy.
You know.
Damn it, John.
I
can I have one thing that tastes good? No.
This is Orc City, man. Everything's sloppy. You
know, yeah, everything is shit. So I would say this as well. The games today and tonight, I mean, it really does feel to me, and by the way, I'm not going to say happy MLK Day. What I will say is it is our day to honor a great leader, a great man, a man who defied the world, who brought some things to the social consciousness of this country regarding race and payment and unions and so on and so forth. And I think it's our duty to make sure that we think about that at the very least and talk about it and understand that people really do need to be paid well in order to live well, and that's an unfortunate thing that it still is happening in our society in a bad way. You have a lot of companies out there that just are not really good citizens socially, civically. They're just profit mongers. That's all they are, and I think that's the majority of a lot of folk. And I know you and I have talked about, you know, people rounding up their stock buybacks and so on and so forth to screw them to continue to get richer.
Yeah. You know,
but above and beyond the economic things that I don't know, that I wish I knew, above and beyond that, it was a banner weekend for the NFL, honestly. The NFL won the weekend, and they're still winning. And what I mean by that is there was a game that was played only on Peacock, and it was the largest streamed event in the history of streaming.
Which game was that?
That was, I believe, the Kansas City Miami Dolphin game.
Where did they play that?
In Kansas City, in the freezing cold temperature, -3 degrees, feels like -15.
That's a hell of a game.
Yeah, and it was a tough game, I think, in the beginning, but boy oh boy did Kansas City just rally and really hang on and win, and congratulations to Patrick Mahomes once again, one of the winningest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He seems to get in the playoffs every year. They didn't play well coming down the stretch. They're a little bit like the Eagles. The Eagles play today, and the Eagles play in Tampa. Now, let's keep in mind that the Eagles played like shit the last five games of the year. They were dismantled. They were taken apart. Now, they won enough games to make it into the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how well they do in Tampa playing against that Tampa Bay defense. And I'm telling you right now, you got a resurrection story at the quarterback position in Tampa.
Say?
Baker Mayfield is playing exceptionally well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see if they can run the football. I think it's over with. If Tampa can run the football, I don't think the Eagles. Plus, their starting quarterback Jalen Hurts is injured for the Eagles, so that should be
that's an ironic name. Taylor Hurts is hurt.
No, Jalen.
Oh,
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is hurt.
Yes, he's injured. Yes. Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly. This fascinating. There's a guy that plays for, I love this
Hurts,
name. There's
Hurts.
A guy that plays for, a rookie that plays for the Los Angeles Rams. His name is Puka Nacua.
That is the coolest name
I have ever heard.
I'd love to have that name.
Dude, what's your name, Puka?
I would have worked on getting a job at Harvard. You know, Professor Puka LaPuka.
Go, Puka.
You know. That sounds like an immigrant name. Am I wrong?
You sound like somebody that don't know how to sign the American papers. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you right now.
Man.
We get these boys in here again. They love them up and get them, turn them into athletes and have them run into each other. That's what we do around here.
Hey, we have an order in the cafe. Cook just told me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Congress has ordered 200 sandwiches.
Whew, that is not a problem.
How about that? You know?
Yes.
They, too, are trying to have something happen for breakfast that will make the rest of the day better.
Aren't they pushing it like I think Schumer's trying to get something done that's signed through March?
Something.
Yeah, they're trying
but
to
I don't know whether... They're going to have to get Johnson to agree to let the Democrats vote on it.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to once again.
Which means he'll get his ass kicked again.
Democrats are going to have to save a Republican speaker's ass once again.
Nah, he'll get fired right after.
That's there'll what be a vote saying. Of no confidence. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got a name for that.
Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan will be the
vacate. Speaker. They call it vacating
vacate.
The speakers.
Yeah, yeah, right. Or a vote of no confidence.
But that's in the caucus, right? In their caucus, that's the.
They can do that now because they created these rules for themselves that are fucking impossible to govern. So.
Well, or make it possible to neutralize government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'm gonna tell you something, John. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I'm gonna run for government. I'm gonna get in office, and I'm gonna prove that the government doesn't work by not doing a fucking thing. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a brilliant
plan.
Yay!
All right. Yeah,
well, you know, I'd like to nominate you for, chairman of the new government. We're gonna get rid of the term president. I think we should just move that along. I don't see what it's doing for us. You know, it's
all I'm trying to do is when somebody out there in the public, and especially in the mainstream media, the MSM, says when they say insurrection, every single time you hear that, just go, "Wow, what a show!" Every time you hear, because it's like history of the world.
Yeah.
It's like when they said the Inquisition, anytime somebody said the Inquisition, everybody else sang that line. Wow, what a show! You should do the same thing.
Right. Look, that woman's burning at the stake. What a
That's crazy.
Man, that's getting the best ratings ever.
I am so much warmer. I don't like this kind of thing, but boy. My hands warmed right up. I'm feeling
It was supposed
good
to purge the soul of evil.
I got to give one of the broadcasters, I got to give him a lot of kudos to Mike Tirico.
Why?
Mike Tirico, formerly of ESPN, now of NBC Sports Broadcasting, is one of the better broadcasters out there who has command of the English language because he says this team has an opportunity to control its path forward. Most guys say, "Oh, they're in control of their destiny." You can't control destiny. That's how you fucking call it destiny, you idiot. Right.
Ever heard the word fate?
Right. You can't
You may have one.
Can't control destiny.
Yes.
Stop it.
Okay. Well, that's good advice, Mike.
I feel so much better for screaming and yelling like that. I'm sure it was effective.
Now, I think it's time to return to a little bit of angel food cake. If you have some,
tonight the Buffalo Bills are playing. As I said, the Steelers in a really sub-zero 4:30 this afternoon. They got the kickoff is supposed to be around 4:30, 4:45, somewhere in there for the kickoff. And I'll tell you, it's still very cold there. The ground is frozen. I'm sure they're still working straight up till this afternoon. They have. They're offering $20 an hour for people to come down and shovel. That still didn't stop a guy from getting in his underwear. And you know those little slits that are between the seats in a stadium? Those long, long slits?
Oh, yeah.
That are built? Yeah, well, a guy got a little toboggan and got up to the top of the stadium on one of the racks and slid down in his underwear. No shoes, no gloves, just underwear and no t-shirt. Just half
what
naked.
Was there a bet involved where he was?
I don't know what the hell was going on, but they showed it on camera this morning. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like those guys at Kansas City. They're running around in Kansas City. It's -3 degrees and these guys don't have shirts on.
You know, it's proof that evolution has a random feature in
random selection process. Yes,
that's not the whole thing. I mean, some things are determined, some things are not. Okay, but nonetheless, that's very complicated and all that. But there is a random little screwball thing in there which can end up producing a thing for which there is no apparent rhyme or reason.
No, not at all.
It doesn't make
none of it ever makes
it. It happened. It probably won't be repeated. And
well, no, it'll be repeated. You'll see it.
Well, it'll
tonight,
be.
I guarantee, if you get a chance, I know you don't watch football, but if you get a chance, check out the 4:30 game today in Buffalo, because you will see some idiots from Buffalo with their shirts off and paint on their.
I used to see that. I used to hang out when I was going to graduate school in Buffalo. Well, actually, was doing Revolution in Buffalo at the time.
John Case, world traveler.
Anyway, we used to hang out at a bar called the No Name Bar.
Oh, I heard of that bar a long time ago.
You know, and
that was a very famous bar for a long time.
Well, it had just started up in '68. Okay, maybe actually 69 it started up, okay? And it was a new bar, and it had a really nice woodwork somebody had done for all the paneling in it and all that. And it was a cut above, you know, the kind of bars that we used to hang out halfway downtown in Buffalo. Okay, anyway, so we used to hang out there, and man, it was, people would walk in the door, naked from the freezing 10-foot snow outside. That's because insane. They were on a big cocktail of hallucinogenic drugs. And they were welcome.
Hey, is your name John? Are you the guy I see from the rooms?
No.
Hey, John! And the guy at the end of the bar, his name's John. He sells shrooms! That's why I'm naked.
John Shrooms. No, they didn't have. You know, look, the mafia controlled the drug traffic in Buffalo back in those days. And so you could either get hash or heroin.
Well, you know, when you say mafia, it turns me off because I don't really believe there was ever such a thing.
Of course not. nonetheless.
Hey, listen, all I'm saying is. All I'm saying is you probably got to go outside or in another room and put some freaking clothes on, all right, you moron, all right?
Yeah. I used to live at in an apartment at the corner of Elmwood and Allen in Buffalo. And
wow.
On that corner.
That's right downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, close to downtown.
Yeah,
I had
that's
a
right,
second
close
floor
to
apartment.
Downtown, baby. Yeah.
And it was about
I've
two or three
Buffalo
bedrooms.
I've been to Buffalo several times.
Big, big. deal, you know. And I had a roommate and whatever. But anyway, right downtown, right down at the bottom of the stairs and across the street on one of the corners was a, no, a hamburger stand. What did they call those things? Old-timey New York City hamburger stands.
No, like a deli, like a
White Tower, White Tower. White Tower.
Oh, there you go. White Tower.
Or Bodega, White Burger, or whatever they call it. Yeah. Anyway, and that was a hangout for the local prostitution business. You know, that about midnight or a little bit later, lots of folks would show up in there for whatever food they were going to be able to consume. Yeah. And
I get it.
There was a lot of really unbelievable creatures that would pass through there. There was a guy that carried a footlocker with him everywhere he went. And I remember him. Anyway, it was and the cops there was a diner on the other corner where the cops used to hang out.
Interesting.
So you had the business ring at the White Tower, the cops at the diner, you know, a bunch of freaks running around outside in all kinds of weather, you know.
Anyway, John is describing, like, he's making a blanket statement, just like the snow, about everyone in Buffalo. Look, I love Buffalo. I've been there several times, and I can tell you they are a hearty folk who like to laugh. They really do. They're a good group of people. I think I had one out of the 15 shows I've done in Buffalo. I think I had one that was bad. That's it. Well, just one. And it wasn't even that bad. It was just the numbers were way down.
Yeah.
Because of the weather. We only had, you know, where there's a audience that, you know, generally there's 200 or 180 in that range. They only had like, say, 40 or 50.
Right.
But those 40 or 50 were okay. It was fine. You know,
You know, I mean, if you'd have lived there, then you would have found out the wonderful pleasures of traveling down to South Buffalo and watching the Coke slag pour into the frozen river, the Niagara River. And it was a light show, a spectacular, infernal light show when that slag hit the frozen river, purple, orange, gold, like deep, dark purples, and this fire explosion.
I cannot wait to taste the fish.
It was unbelievable. And
can you catch a bass,
beautiful.
John? Can you catch a bass out of that water?
Well,
you...
I mean, we used it as an opportunity to test out the quality of, you know, various, you know, drugs that were going around. You know, so if you could get into that light show, well, it was pretty good stuff. I'm just saying that entertainments in Buffalo were, you know, and plus when it snowed, it was great because everything turned white.
Yeah. Oh man.
But day later or 2 days later, it turned brown again.
Yeah.
It went from white to yellow, very similar to urine, then to brown. Okay, because it was a steel town. That's still.
It was, yeah. Otto. It was one of the original steel towns. That's Scranton.
Yeah.
Scranton, PA, Buffalo.
Anyway, Bethlehem Steel still had, I think it's
right around the corner.
Second biggest. It had the Sparrow's Point,
originally.
Was the big plant for Bethlehem, but the other one was in Buffalo.
Did you know that? My mother is from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, they were my Papu, my Greek grandfather, and my my grandmother on that side and my mom's side.
That's a company town.
From Bethlehem. Yeah, they lived a little, you know, my Papu was Greek, so he had a restaurant that wasn't incredibly popular, but he did work the restaurant, and my mom worked the restaurant when she was younger, so... interestingly enough, and it was closer to Bethlehem than it was Goldsboro. In fact, my uncle
Goldsboro.
Charlie used to hitchhike to go play basketball.
Man.
Yeah, he would hitchhike back then. And back then it was a little easier. It wasn't so many creeps. There were people that were actually concerned about people on the side of the road, and they would pick them, you know, pick them up.
I remember working with the steel workers, and we were handing out flyers at Bethlehem Works, which had 12 gates at the time. So it took quite a crew to leave it.
Right, place. That's a big distribution crew, friend.
Yeah, right. Wow. Well, there was 12,000-13,000 workers still there.
Well, and, I just wanted we're winding down the NFL season, and I am not really even closeted. I really like the way the guy speaks. Stephen A. Smith is a broadcaster on ESPN who gets rather animated about sports, and I do like the way he broadcasts. Now, I'm not going to lie to anybody. My favorite show that has ever been generated out of the sports world is, pardon the interruption, with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, who I think are some of the smartest writing sports reporters out there, besides Lupica. Lupica in Chicago is another brilliant guy, really smart guy. And I try to pay attention to those guys because they seem to be able to drive that line right through sensibility. You know what I mean? Just common sense things that they – some of the things they say, they do sound now. They sound a little like they're kind of like, I don't know about that. Back in my day kind of thing. But you try to just listen to the little nuggets though because they're smart. They're smart guys. So,
hey – let me ask you another.
I say that to say this.
No, sorry.
I am not going to comment on the show that Aaron Rodgers was on that he's been banned from. I'm not going to comment on that. Okay. I have no comment on that at all. So.
Well, I was going to ask you a different a more philosophical question.
Oh, no.
So, you know, in professional sports, you know, people are paid a lot of money, especially because for a brief period of time.
Right.
Nonetheless, you know, the biggest currency in athletics is reputation.
Yeah.
And it's pretty strong anyway. And reputation has been proven to be a powerful incentive. Maybe as powerful as the money in some cases. Okay. Now the commercial world and, you know, employment and all that stuff tends to operate pretty much strictly on the money. But what would happen if a lot of things right now that people say, well, the market is the best at incentivizing more efficient and therefore in theory more useful stuff, and not just that, the labor saving aspect of it being more efficient means that ultimately someone, be nice if everyone, but someone will have more leisure time, okay, as a result down the road. But you know, does that get the optimum result? I mean, if you set up a contest or a set of contests like in sports to achieve various other kinds of objectives in society or in communities or whatever, and you know, the winner and loser thing got, you know, rewards in a more sports-like framework, why couldn't you substitute that kind of model for profit making per se, at least in part, more parts of the economy of the society? I'm not saying all one thing or the other, that kind of thing, you know, but how could the idea of contests and competition based on reputation replace just, you know, whoever makes the most money
wins?
Yeah,
you can't. Yeah, that's not going to, you need hard numbers in order to decide who won or lost. You can't. It's, you know, it's a fact of life. You have to, sometimes you lose and sometimes you win. If you're a professional organization, unlike what I saw with the Commanders. Now I will congratulate Josh Harris on putting together a top level evaluation team to move forward and bring in a new general manager, which they've done. They did that 3 days ago. They signed a guy from the San Francisco 49ers who was the assistant general manager. He's very smart. He helped the San Francisco 49ers put their current team together. If you'll notice, they're taking a break right now. They get another week off to heal. They'll be back next week. They have a lot of players that were – he was instrumental in bringing Christian McCaffrey from Carolina, from the Panthers, to the San Francisco 49ers. He's the number one running back in the NFL. You have a journeyman quarterback named Brock Purdy. And the interesting thing about Brock Purdy is 3 years ago, he was – do you know what the term Mr. Irrelevant means?
You mean, well, I know some, yeah, sure. Well, I have a whole book of people that apply.
Let me qualify, John. Let me qualify by saying the last guy in the draft to be picked is Mr. Irrelevant.
Okay.
And Brock Purdy was the last guy in the draft that was picked, and now he's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and they're one of the number one teams in the NFL. They are really slated to make a run. Now, hey, look, they got to get by Green Bay. Green Bay's hot. Green Bay's going to go in there next week with no attitude. Green Bay has the youngest football team to ever play in the playoffs, ever. Their average age is 25.4. That's all their guys. They're too dumb and full of enthusiasm to realize they're nervous. They don't even care.
That's interesting, but it's a little bit
freeing to be able to. Hey, the pressure's not on me; the pressure's on the other guy. They're the great team. Who are we? Yeah.
Did you?
We're just a bunch of young guys who got together and played well.
Did you hear that the NFL is considering buying ESPN?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good or bad thing?
It
doesn't matter.
I think what you'll see is if ESPN sells, I don't know, do you become NFL eccentric? Do you become part of the NFL network? There's already an NFL network. There's all kinds of rights and regulations that have to be, hammered out by agents and so on and so forth. That's going to be a confusing buy, if anything.
And why is it that the NFL teams, maybe it's true of baseball as well, tend to be owned by individual billionaires rather than by corporations? And is that true?
Well, I don't know how true that is. To an extent, it's probably true. Because if you kind of take Josh Harris, for example, he put a group together. It's not just his money. It's Magic Johnson's money.
Right.
He put together a really smart group of people to purchase the Commanders. He really did.
It's a group.
As much as people want to say, hey, that guy's exactly like Dan Snyder, he's not. He's not exactly like Dan Snyder. He's just not. He said, look, I'm going to go out. He said exactly what he was going to do. I'm going to go out. I'm going to hire a group of people to help us decide who to hire. That's the first freaking thing he did. And he said this is going to be a swift operation. Now, word has it that Ben Johnson, the gentleman who is the offensive coordinator currently for the Detroit Lions, will be the next head coach of the Washington Commanders. He's a very young guy. He's 36 years old. He has some really good ideas on offense and what to do on offense.
Right.
Does that constitute them bringing back Eric Bieniemy next year? I don't know.
Bieniemy
could always go back to Kansas City. They love him there. So he's a great offensive coordinator as well. It's just he didn't have the tools to call some of the plays he was calling for the Commanders because they just didn't have the strength or the speed or the talent or the brains.
Oh, dear. What a deficit. There you go. Well
4-13.
We're at 45 minutes here. Do you want to?
Oh, excellent. Okay, buddy. Good. 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 We good?
Well, thanks for the angel food cake.
We had a little angel food cake cafe there.
Right.
One more time. I like saying this out loud. Just one more time before we leave today. The Dallas Cowboys got their ass kicked.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yes, it's like Elmo's character, you know, used to be. Yeah.
So yummy. Oh, Dallas fans, let me
tickle
taste
me, Elmo.
Tears. Let me taste your tears.
Right.
A whole cup of Dallas Cowboy fan cheers. Tears right here. The tears right here.
Okay.
Yummy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well,
I have no idea who's going to advance. I have no idea who's going to win. Enjoy the games. Thank you, enlightenradio.org, for the only location for a screaming, gigantic fathead like me to run his mouth. I want to thank John Case, the original Dusty Footed Philosopher. We thank you all for tuning in, no matter what time of the day or night it is, America. Take care of yourselves. Love each other and be good to each other. Thank you.
Bye bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
It's late, but everything comes next. Get some cat food. Oh, hold on a second here.